Hello, I'm here during the lunch rush with Janice, who owns her own food truck.
Best cheesesteaks in town.
Janice traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for her food truck business. We're here where she needs us most.
They sure are.
We make it so easy for her to save, with customised coverage that grows with her business. Sorry, I just get so emotional talking about saving folks money.
Not this onion I'm chopping?
It's just so beautiful. Oh, yeah, nice, the onion.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.
Okay, so if you spend any time slipping through cable news channels, maybe even just 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah.
It feels almost guaranteed you'll bump into one of those, you know, the body language experts.
The ones who seem to have psychic powers.
Exactly. The guru who tells us, you know, because a politician gripped the podium a bit harder, or maybe they rubbed their nose for a second, that definitely means they're hiding something or, you know, outright lying.
And honestly, a lot of that analysis, it just comes across with the credibility of maybe a roadside psychic, right?
Totally. It's easy to watch that stuff and just immediately feel skeptical.
Well, yeah. And the underlying problem is that nonverbal communication, reading body language, it's actually incredibly complex. It's notoriously difficult to get right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And the whole field feels a bit polluted with speculation sometimes, which is exactly why we wanted to do this deep dive today.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at a resource that seems grounded in two really important things. Decades of, well, high-stakes, real-world use.
Right. Application.
And verifiable science.
Mm.
We're digging into the core insights from Joe Navarro.
Yeah.
He's a 25-year FBI veteran.
Mm.
And his book, it's called What Everybody Is Saying, An Ex-FBI Agent's Guide to Speed Reading People.
And our mission here is pretty straightforward, really. We want to pull out the genuinely credible, the actionable stuff from someone who actually used these techniques day in, day out, assessing credibility in, you know, critical FBI interviews for decades.
So he's not just relying on gut feelings.
No, not at all. He actually grounds his conclusions in recent science. The book even has this like 3-page bibliography.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but it still manages to avoid being too dense or overly theoretical. It's actually quite an accessible read, but still responsible.
Okay, so before we jump into what sounds like his most surprising idea, this hierarchy of observation, we really need to establish the core principle first. The one Navarro really hammers home.
Which is?
That accurately reading nonverbal signals,
mm-hmm.
it very rarely relies on just one single isolated tell.
Right. That's absolutely fundamental.
So seeing one nervous twitch doesn't automatically mean anything on its own.
No. That's the essential starting point. Relying on a single gesture, that's precisely where, you know, amateur interpreters really get into trouble.
Okay.
Accurate interpretation needs what Navarro calls clusters.
The clusters.
Yeah, complementary tells. They need to stack up to reinforce a single underlying emotional state or meaning. You really need to see, say, 3 or 4 related signals.
Within a short time.
Exactly. Within a short time frame to reliably assess what's actually happening inside someone.
Okay, so let's unpack this then. Starting with Navarro's, well, what you called his most shocking revelation.
Yeah, it really is quite counterintuitive.
It sounds like it completely flips the script on what most people, you know, instinctively focus on when they're trying to read someone.
And that revelation is simply this. The face, the thing everyone stares at, is actually one of the least reliable indicators of what someone is truly thinking or feeling.
Wait, really? That feels genuinely surprising.
Doesn't it?
Yeah, because when we talk about honesty or deception, our attention just naturally locks onto the eyes, the mouth, facial expression.
Like your expressions, yeah.
We look for those things. So if the face is the least trustworthy, how does that square with, like, decades of cultural focus on eye contact and facial cues?
Well, Navarro addresses that directly. His FBI method, the one he developed over literally thousands of interviews, it's entirely tactical. He actually trained himself to concentrate on the suspect's feet and legs first.
Feet and legs first.
Yeah. Then moving upward in his observations and reading the face dead last.
That is the complete opposite of what, like, every person instinctively does in any conversation. We always prioritize the face.
Exactly.
So based on all that experience, what's the core rule then about the body's overall reliability?
The central principle, the one that doesn't really change, is this. When you're assessing honesty, truthfulness, reliability decreases as you move your observations up from the feet towards the head.
Wow. So the lower half of the body is, counterintuitively, the most truthful part.
That's what his decades of experience showed. The most honest part of the human form.
Why? Why are we so good at controlling our faces? Is it just constant practice?
Yeah.
Why can that part lie so well while the feet just give away the game?
Well, it really boils down to training and, you know, conscious social control.
Huh?
We're taught from our earliest years, really, how to deliberately lie with our faces just for social harmony.
Right. Think about those examples you mentioned from the source material.
Yeah.
Like, we learn as kids not to make that face when a friend gives us some distasteful food.
Exactly. Or that almost universal experience of pretending you're absolutely thrilled to see, you know, that unpopular aunt at the family get together.
Been there.
Right. That's conscious facial control. It's being ingrained in us from a super young age. We learn to mask what we genuinely feel with an expected, socially acceptable expression.
And that's governed by the higher thinking part of our brain.
Precisely, the neocortex. Meanwhile, our feet and legs, they're often acting under an older, much faster command structure. They usually operate without that conscious, socialized filter getting in the way.
And that speed difference?
Yeah.
That's critical.
It's everything. Which actually brings us really nicely to the underlying subconscious drivers that Navarro talks about, what he calls our limbic legacy.
Okay, limbic legacy. This sounds like where the science comes in to back up the FBI method.
Exactly.
The book talks about the evolution of the three brains, right? Giving us the biological reason why the feet are faster, more honest than the face.
Precisely. When we talk about the three brains, we're generally referring to the basic hierarchy of brain function. You know, at the bottom, you've got the most primitive structure, sometimes called the reptilian brain.
Basic survival stuff.
Right. Handles basic survival. Then layered on top is the limbic system. That's the seat of our emotions, our instinctual drives.
Okay.
And then finally, layered over all of that is the neocortex. That's the thinking, calculating, planning.
The social brain.
The highly socialized brain, yeah.
Yeah.
The part that tells your face to smile politely when you actually hate the food you're eating.
Got it.
So our nonverbal behaviors, especially the really critical defensive ones, they're often governed by that super quick acting limbic system.
So we're talking about those core instinctual behaviors.
Yeah.
The famous freeze, flight, or fight responses.
Exactly those.
And the crucial point here is the timing, right? The speed difference.
Yes. The limbic system processes a perceived threat almost immediately. It triggers a physical response, often milliseconds.
Milliseconds.
Yeah, milliseconds before the slower neocortex can even formulate a controlled conscious response, like telling your face what to do.
So it's purely a defensive reflex.
Absolutely. And if you connect this back to that hierarchy of reliability.
Feet first.
It makes perfect sense why the feet and legs are more honest, right? They are physically gearing up for flight, maybe getting ready to run, or freezing completely still before the conscious mind can even fully process the threat and tell the face to, you know, hide the emotion.
Okay, but wait, doesn't that really only work if the person is standing up? I mean, what if someone's sitting down? Like in an interview or a negotiation, you can't always see their whole body.
That's a really critical question. And it's actually why Navarro's insights are still so valuable, even when, yeah, the lower body is partially hidden.
How so?
Because the instincts still manifest. A person doesn't need to actually stand up to prepare for flight, limbically speaking.
Okay, so how does that flight instinct show up then in the feet and legs when someone's sitting?
Well, you'll see what are called pacifying behaviors or maybe directional cues.
Pacifying behaviors.
Yeah, things to soothe anxiety. So if someone is genuinely uncomfortable or anxious and their conscious mind hasn't quite caught up to suppress the impulse, you might see like rapid foot jiggling or maybe rubbing their ankles together or, and this is really telling in an interview setting, the sudden complete retraction of their feet way back under the chair.
Retracting the feet under the chair. That's interesting. Why is that specific one such a huge indicator?
Because it's a primal attempt to sort of hide or physically prepare to move out of harm's way.
Oh, okay.
The feet are literally retreating to a safer position, ready to spring up and flee if things get worse. The limbic system is screaming, "Get me out of here," long before the neocortex has finalized its socially appropriate response.
Which is often like, "Oh, I'm perfectly fine. Tell me more."
Exactly that. I'm calm.
So the reliability of watching the lower body really comes down to the fact that it's just less consciously controlled than our highly socialized faces.
Pretty much. The face is operating under the direction of the thinking, calculating brain.
The neocortex.
While the feet are still responding much more directly to the primal emotional limbic brain.
And that speed difference is what the FBI learned to exploit, basically.
To capitalize on, yeah. Let me give you just a quick concrete example. Oh. It really highlights the power of looking for these clusters and watching the feed. So Navarro might be interviewing a suspect, right? And the suspect is calmly answering questions, maintaining perfect eye contact, showing all the outward signs of being cooperative.
So the face says, I'm telling the truth.
Yeah.
The neocortex is running the show smoothly.
Precisely. But then the agent asks a very specific, maybe high-stress question. Something about, say, where the suspect was on a particular night.
Uh-huh.
The suspect maintains that calm veneer, the calm face. But simultaneously, the agent sees the suspect's feet instantly shift. Maybe they move from a relaxed position to pointing directly toward the door.
The exit.
Exactly. And maybe that's coupled with a slight rubbing of their thigh with their hand that's a pacifying touch.
Okay, so that's a cluster right there. Mm-hmm. Three tells. The feet pointing to the exit, the sudden shift in posture, and the self-soothing touch.
You got it. And all of those suggest high anxiety, maybe a desire for flight, completely contradicting the calm face.
That's fascinating. It really shows how Navarro manages to synthesize this complex biological background, this limbic legacy stuff, and weave it into such practical, reliable observation methods.
Mm.
It really does turn reading people from like guesswork into more of a tactical skill.
Absolutely. And he even organizes the book in a very specific way that reflects this method.
Awesome.
Well, he structures his detailed nonverbal analysis not just randomly, but literally from toe to head.
Toe to head. So the opposite of how we normally look at people.
Exactly. Deliberately moving in the direction of decreasing honesty, it forces the reader to prioritize the most truthful signals first.
Smart.
And it's a really engaging format, too. It's not just, you know, dense theory. The book includes nearly five dozen short side boxes, little breakout sections.
Okay.
And these are just filled with fascinating, often high stakes anecdotes pulled directly from Navarro's 25-year FBI career, real world case studies of these principles in action.
That sounds really useful for seeing how it plays out. Now, in the spirit of a full look at the source material, we should probably acknowledge the minor critique. I mean, pretty much every book has some small flaw, right? And apparently, occasionally, the author did state something that seemed a little self-evident.
Yeah. The reviewer we looked at cited this example of a full page dedicated to explaining that, well, a tire communicates a message.
Okay. Like what?
They used the specific example that, you know, a person wearing a business suit in a dark alley will probably be perceived as less threatening than someone wearing baggy clothing.
Right.
Even if they're both behaving identically.
Which, okay, fair enough. We probably didn't need a whole page to explain the signaling power of a suit versus a hoodie in a dark alley. That feels obvious.
And it does seem pretty obvious. But here's the key pivot and why the book is still seen as so valuable overall.
Okay.
The reviewer noted that every single time they felt the author was stating an obvious point like that, they'd just flip the page and immediately learn like three completely new things.
Ah, okay. So the density of useful information is still really high.
Exactly. It speaks to the incredible density of the genuinely novel observations in the book. Mm-hmm. It's not just padded out with common sense.
It's loaded with proprietary insights from, well, a lifetime of high-stakes intelligence work.
Right. The ratio of novel information to obvious points is overwhelmingly in favor of novel.
And I guess the proof of the book's value is really in its staying power, isn't it?
How do you mean?
Well, this book came out way back in 2008. That's quite a while ago now.
Yeah.
Yet it's still ranked among Amazon's top 500 bestsellers today.
Wow.
That's some serious enduring relevance, especially in a field that often changes with, you know, every new viral clip on TikTok or whatever.
That's a really good point. And I think it holds up precisely because the underlying mechanics, the limbic legacy, the body's natural subconscious responses, they haven't changed since we were, you know, cavemen.
Right. They're fundamental.
Navarro focused on the constants, not just fleeting trends or culturally specific gestures that might change over time.
So let's wrap up this deep dive then. Let's try and synthesize the core actionable insights for you, the listener, so you can walk away armed with a bit of this FBI perspective.
Okay. So first takeaway, always, always look for clusters of tells.
Right. Not just one thing.
Never just one thing. A single isolated gesture means very little on its own. You have to observe multiple complementary signals that cluster for any kind of accurate assessment of someone's true state.
Okay, cluster analysis first. What's second?
Second, fundamentally change where you focus first. recognize that honesty is generally highest in the lower body, the feet and the legs.
Because they're linked to that older, faster survival brain.
Exactly. Watch the feet for those freeze, flight, or fight responses. Look for things like sudden shifts towards an exit or those pacifying movements we talked about, like foot jiggling or retracting the feet.
Got it. Feet and legs first, then what?
And finally, just remember that the most immediate, the most truthful reactions often stem from the subconscious, from our limbic legacy.
Okay.
Those are the nonverbals you're likely seeing before the conscious thinking mind has had time to intervene and slap on that controlled, socialized facial mask.
That shift in focus, just moving attention from the highly managed phase down to the more honest feet and legs.
Mm-hmm.
It really does feel like it could be transformative.
Yeah.
And how you read a room or maybe read a person who's under pressure, it turns basic observation into something more like actual intelligence gathering.
Absolutely. And, you know, if we connect this to the bigger picture, knowing that the lower body is often the most honest part of us, mainly because it operates largely without that filter of consciousness, well, it raises an interesting, maybe even slightly uncomfortable question for you, the listener, to think about.
Okay, what's that?
How often are you consciously monitoring your own feet and leg movements? And what honest subconscious signals might they be sending out about your true comfort level, especially when you're trying hard to project calm confidence?